Say peculiar, Mr. Holmes. We found four cigar stubs in the grate. The deceased appears to have been smoking heavily during the night.
Have you got his cigar holder?
No, sir. No sign of one.
His cigar case, though?
Oh, yes. That was on the dressing table. Here it is.
Quite so. This is no suicide, Inspector. It's a deliberately planned and cold-blooded murder.
The Resident Patient by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Peter Ling. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Robert Lang as Alfred Blessington, Clarence Smith as Dr. Percy Trevelyan, with David Kossoff and George Winter. The Resident Patient.
It had been a close, rainy day in October. Unhealthy weather. But the evening brought a breeze with it, and Holmes suggested we should refresh ourselves with a ramble to Hyde Park.
And what have you decided, Watson? Will there ever be home rule for Ireland?
As long as Lord Salisbury remains Prime Minister, it seems to me... I beg your pardon?
Surely you are musing upon the problem. And I fancy you concluded that such a complicated issue is unlikely to be solved through party politics.
Yes, those are my thoughts exactly. I didn't realize I'd put them into words.
You did not. Well, we know each other pretty well by now. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes I may be able to follow your unspoken thoughts.
Good Lord. I hope you're not taking up telepathy as a hobby.
Oh, hardly that. A very unscientific science, I fear.
Very well, then. No doubt you're about to explain to me how the trick was done.
My dear fellow, ever since we left Hyde Park, you've been in a brown study, and your features are the faithful servants of your emotions.
Do you mean to tell me that you were able to read my train of thought in my facial expression?
Your eyes are particularly eloquent. Perhaps you can recall how your reverie began.
Yes, I think perhaps... No, I can't.
Then I will tell you. A barrel organ struck up an old Irish tune. It evoked some picturesque images. Your head was full of the Emerald Oil. A moment later, a man walked by carrying a travelling bag.
Ah, you noticed him too.
A Gladstone bag, to be precise. Highland Gladstone. You were reminded of his unsuccessful attempt to carry through the Home Rule Bill. Then we passed two dogs barking furiously at each other, and their wretched owners straining to prevent a life-or-death struggle. And at last, far away in Westminster, Big Ben began to strike the hour. Your mind flew to the Houses of Parliament, and a rueful smile quivered upon your lips. Was there, after all, so very much difference in principle between Gladstone and Salisbury hammering it out across the floor of the house and a common garden dogfight?
My dear Holmes, you have followed me quite wonderfully. Although, of course, now you have explained it, it's quite obvious, really.
Certainly, Watson. All very superficial, I assure you. But it's 10 o'clock. High time to turn our steps to Baker Street. Yeah, well. It seems we have a visitor.
You mean the brougham? There's no reason to suppose it's waiting for us.
I think you'll find it is. There is a light in the sitting room window. Mrs. Hudson would scarcely have lit the lamp in an empty room. A colleague of yours, perhaps.
What makes you say that?
Well, look inside. This carriage belongs to a doctor in general practice, not long established, but he's had a good deal of work already.
Of course. The wicker basket. Varied selection of medical instruments. Still reasonably new and shiny.
Well done, Watson. What brings the good doctor to visit us at such a late hour?
Mr. Holmes?
Good evening, Doctor. Allow me to introduce you to a fellow medico, my friend Dr. Watson.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Please, resume your seat and let me know how I can serve you.
Thank you.